By request, Adrian Cardoza, head golf professional at Lost Canyons.
This is Golf Smarter. Each week, you'll get inside information on how to lower your scores through strategy and course management. We'll ask course pros, designers, and architects to reveal their secrets in an effort to improve your game. If you're a beginner or a seasoned pro, subscribe to the Golf Smarter podcast. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Hi, this is Mark Rebro from Plano, Texas, and I'd like to learn a little bit more about Lost Canyons because the few times I have played there in the past, there have been a lot of difficult shots that were blind, and when you are faced with a blind tee shot, tips in general on trying to figure out where to put it so you can have better success with trying to par the hole.
Welcome, Adrian.
Thank you. Thanks for having me out. I appreciate it.
No, I appreciate you taking the time to do this. Now, Lost Canyons, as you just heard from our listener, Mark, who called from Plano, Texas, he's told me that he has played a number of tournaments at your golf course and finds it to be challenging at the very least.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely challenging. You know, we do well over 150 tournaments a year, you know, ranging from, you know, 20, 30-person outings all the way to, you know, full 300-person outings. And, you know, we do get a lot of out-of-towners, you know, a lot of Texans come out and play. And like you said, the course is definitely challenging. You know, it's designed by Pete Dye, and if you know anything about course design, Pete Dye makes very, very difficult golf courses. And, you know, nonetheless, this is definitely one of the harder ones in Southern California.
That's a lot of what this program is about, is taking a course designer like Pete Dye or Jim Fazio or Robert Trent Jones and looking into how they design a course strategically and how a player, an everyday player, can take that with them on any course that they go to.
Mm-hmm.
So you have two golf courses at Lost Canyon. You have two 18-hole courses.
Yes, we do.
And is this a typical layout for a Pete Dye course?
It very much is, yeah. I mean, it's definitely a shot maker's course. It's a lot of target golf. It's a lot of holes where you can't really see the entire hole, or you can't see half the fairway, or you can't see the bottom of the flagstick. So, you know, definitely course knowledge is definitely on your side. The Sky course is a little more open. You know, there's pretty much on every hole you can see the entire fairway. You can see the bottom of the flag, with the exception of, you know, the rolling hills that, you know, they're kind of a little misconceived, you know, as far as depth perception. But for the most part, the Sky course is pretty much, you know, what you see is what you get. You know, the Shadow course, you know, it's very, very tight, small fairways, you know, a lot of undulating, you know, greens. But a lot of it is blind tee shots. You can't see part of the fairway. You can't see, you know, half the green. So, no, a lot of it is course knowledge. You know, it is definitely a shot maker's course, and, you know, it's you definitely got to, you know what stick to hit, and, you know, definitely, you know, choose your yardage, you know, and definitely, you know, you have yardage guides there, and, you know, they definitely help as far as, you know, distance to carry. We have a lot of creeks and ravines that run in and out of the golf course, and it's definitely a challenging golf course.
So the courses, the Sky course and the Shadow course, are very different courses.
They are, yeah. The Sky course is a typical golf course. You know, once you play your nine holes and you come back to the clubhouse, then you go back out and, you know, come back to the clubhouse. You know, the Shadow course is the link-style course. Once you go out, you don't come back until the 18th hole. So there's no halfway house out there, you know, or but they are definitely...
Halfway house,
or, you know... yeah.
I've heard it called a clubhouse, but never a halfway house.
I think halfway house
is something else altogether.
You can, yeah. A lot of people, you know, Southern Californians, that's, you know, what they like to see. Just go out,
yeah,
there, you know, but...
Synanon or something.
Yeah, but it's... There are definitely two different golf courses. The Sky course is definitely a little more open off the fairway, so you can spray a little bit left and right, and, you know, it's very, very fair. You know, but the Shadow course is very tight, and, you know, you really have to, you know, pick the line and just choose it.
Let's take a hole. Give me something that one of your favorite holes on the more difficult course, and let's just walk through it here and tell me, you know, and again, thinking on you're at a Pete Dye course, what kind of knowledge do you need to attack a hole like that?
Yeah,
pick a hole.
Definitely, my favorite hole is definitely the hardest hole in the golf course, which is, it's called, you know, each hole, if you know, Pete Dye, he names every single one of his holes a different name. So this hole is particularly called Pete's Way. And it's number six. It's the longest. It's from the very back tips. It plays about 485 yards downhill into the wind. And slight little dog leg, you know, right to left, you know, fairway sloping right to left. You got, you know, the hillside on the left, which is all, you know, brush and out of bounds. And the right side, it's all out of bounds, you know, and it's just a very, very intimidating driving hole because, you know, anything that you hit downhill, left or right off your line, you know, definitely carries, you know, a little bit further than you want it to. So, you know, you take a little downhill right to left, shot-making shot, you know, you have yourself, you know, you still have yourself a pretty 5-iron or 4-iron in there with, you know, bunkers on the right. The green's a little bit elevated. If you go left of the green or over the green, you know, you're hitting, you know, pitching up to a green where you can't even see the green alone. So it's definitely a very, very difficult golf course. Therefore, it is, you know, the hardest hole on the golf course. But it's definitely, you know, you walk away with a par on that, and it feels like you actually took one from the course.
Hmm. So. And you're saying you're hitting into the wind here.
Most of the time, it does play into the wind. You know, we always get an afternoon breeze between 12 and 3 o'clock. But, you know, and Simi Valley in Spanish, that means Valley of the Winds. So, you know, from November to February, you know, the winds are very, very unpredictable. Can blow anywhere from, you know, 20 to 40 to 50 miles per hour up there sometimes. So, you know, those days, it's you know, not only is the hole playing 485, into the wind is probably now playing, you know, close to 600 yards now. So it's definitely a challenging hole, but, you know, like I said, you make a couple good swings in there and, you know, a couple good shots, you know, you definitely do get rewarded.
No, that's, of course, if the ground's not shaking.
Yeah.
No, listen, I'm from Southern California. I grew up with earthquakes, and I don't think they're that big of a deal.
Yeah.
I've lived through a bunch of them, and I'd rather be in an earthquake than a hurricane, so.
Absolutely. I'm with you on that one, too.
Yeah, well, a lot of people would want to debate that, but I frankly don't see a debate. What kind of influence did Fred Couples have? I know that he worked with Pete Dye on this course. What kind of influence did he have in designing this course?
He had a lot of influence, you know, predominantly on the Sky course in particular. He co-designed and put his consultant on there, his little knowledge on that particular course. He didn't do so much on the shallow course. You know, he did put a little piece here, a little piece there, but... You know, as you know, Freddie plays everything with a little bit of a cut. And, you know, a lot of the holes on the Sky course plays for a little bit of a cut. And so that's what definitely you can see, you know, his shot-making pattern from left to right. And that's what a lot of the holes play a little left to right, you know, as well as, you know, some of them play a little right to left as well. But majority of the holes play favors his little fade, you know, which is definitely nice.
So there's lots of times that you're going to need an extra club or one less club, if not two less clubs, not only because of the terrain, but because of the wind.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, the wind definitely does have a huge, huge factor. You know, whether it be, you know, 5 or 10 mile per hour breeze, or, you know, you're hitting, you know, 30 miles downwind. You know, it's definitely with the elevation, you know, you could be looking at, you know, 100 yards with a little uphill wind in your face. You know, you got to play that 130 yards. So, you know, you're definitely taking from a sandwich now all the way to maybe even close to a 9-iron now. So the elevation change is definitely something to consider.
So tell me about the common mistakes that you see on this golf course.
The most common mistake I see a lot is people don't play from the right tees. You know, a lot of the guys, you know, they put their ego aside. Or they don't put their ego aside, and they look at the yardage, and you know they say, "Oh, well, you know, the gold tees are only playing, you know, 6,500 yards." Well, the 6,500 yards now plays close to 6,900 yards because of all the elevation change, and you know they really got to take a look at the slope and the rating of the golf course. You know, the Sky course, you know, from the black tees, plays 7,200 yards, and it's the third hardest golf course in Southern California behind PGA West Stadium course and Torrey Pines, where they're having the U.S. Open. You know, and the rating is 149. So it's definitely up there. And then the average course rating in Southern California is 113. So it's definitely difficult. So, you know, a lot of guys, you know, they think, oh, it's only 6,000 yards from the silver. You know, it's not that much of a golf course. You know, in essence, you know, like I always tell people, you know, 6,000 really plays close to 75. You know, the silver tees are still playing at a rating of 136. You know, so it's still a very difficult golf course. So I think if people just take a look at that, the rating and the slope, you know, I think that should definitely tell a lot about what the course has to offer.
Actually, I want to ask you more about that because I know when I'm going out and playing and you have three sets of tees, I'm intimidated by the back tees and I'm too macho to play the front tees. How am I supposed to determine that? How is it that, you know, when a bunch of guys are going out and, you know, they don't all have the same game. Some guys can shoot in the mid-80s. Some guys barely break 100 and some guys are in the 110s, 115s. How should they determine where they're going to be playing that day?
Definitely the rating. I mean, a lot of people don't really consider, they don't look at the rating, and they don't understand what rating and slope means.
No.
And I think a lot of people should really look into that and find
out what
it is. Explain
it to us, please.
Well, I'm not an expert, but, you know, definitely the higher the rating is, like I said, you know, 113 is the average rating in Southern California, and that's usually based on a pretty flat, you know, golf course with, you know, 6,500 yards playing from the back tees. You know, with nowadays with all these courses, you know, designing and, you know, younger kids and younger people with technology taking over hitting the ball so far, that, you know, designers are forced to make courses longer and more difficult. So I think when they look at the rating and see anything over, you know, like a 130 or so, 135, which is pretty relatively tough for most golf courses, I think that's plenty enough golf course for anybody. But I think if somebody realizes that, you know, 130 something rating, and that would be really equivalent to, you know, the back tees of most public golf courses, because we have five sets of tees. We do challenge everybody. We do offer everybody's game and the right set of tees for them. So I think if they just take as 130, say 135, as a very, very severe golf course, look at that, and that's probably the most appropriate tees they should be playing from. I think if they take all yardage aside, you know, because visually, you know, you do have to carry the ball on some holes, you know, close to 200 yards. And, you know, for most golfers, average golfer, that's usually what they're hitting their drives, maybe 220 or so. So I think taking without, you know, the yardage into consideration, if they look at the slope and the rating, I think that should really give them a different accurate of where they should be playing.
What is the range of a rating? I mean, where does it go from where to where? I'm going to play dumb here.
It could go anywhere from, you know, 101, 100. I've seen rating as low as, you know, 98. You know, on some, you know, par three courses, and I think the hardest golf course, I think, is close to 160, which I think is a golf course out in Hawaii that is very, very difficult. And, you know, I think when the SDGA rates golf courses, they rate it as far as, you know, the length, the difficulty, the position of bunkers, the elevation changes, the depthness of greens, the wideness of greens, how much, you know, and I think all that taken into consideration, you know, it definitely is a wide, wide variety of what it could be, from, like I said, all the way to a high 90s, all the way to, you know, 160.
You know, I've seen rating. I've entered it when I've, you know, put in my score, and when I got to do it online, and I've got to, what's a slate rating, what's a slope, but I've really never paid attention to it that much. But that should really help you. Again, if you're going to play an unfamiliar course, that's going to give you some idea of what you're getting yourself into, right, if you understand that.
Absolutely, absolutely. With all, like I said, with all these new courses opening up, you know, a lot of these average golf courses, golfers want to go out there and just, you know, experience, you know, the whole, you know, atmosphere, you know, the customer service, the clubhouse, and the whole nine yards, what they want to experience. And I think to really make the round enjoyable, they really have to play from the right set of tees. And I think that's a lot of, we kind of get a bad rap for that, and people just say it's such an unfair golf course, you know, because they don't know where they're going, and, well, you know, we offer them, you know, yardage guides, we tell them to play the right set of tees, and like, oh, well, they just, you know, they're too much of an ego, and just say, well, it's not that long of a course, so we're going to play back more. They go, well, you know what, and then go ahead and play back there, but, you know, you got to be pretty darn well player to play, you know, to push them back a little more.
Do you need to bring a lot of balls with you?
Definitely a lot of balls, you know, with a lot of hazards, a lot of creeks and ravines, and, you know, some ravines are, you know, 40, 50, you know, deep, 40 or, you know, 40 feet wide, and, you know, with the terrain that we have up there, too, and the heat, and, you know, we do get a lot of nature up there, especially a lot of snakes, a lot of rattlesnakes, and, you know, it's definitely, you know, something you don't want to fight with. So if a ball goes in there, I want to be chasing after it.
hopefully there's warnings around the course.
There are definitely plenty of warnings, yeah.
Good. Talk to me a bit about the bunkers that you have there. Are there a lot, and the condition of them, and what you should do to play them?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of bunkers there. You know, like I said, with Pete Dye designing the course, he is definitely the master of bunkering. You know, he definitely makes some really deep bunkers, and, you know, very, very large, and, you know, they're very in great shape. Very, you know, they definitely get out of them. Definitely, I mean, it's not an impossible bunker to get out of, with the exception of probably the 18th hole in the shadow. You know, there's from the top of the green all the way down to the bottom bunker is probably a good, I'd probably say 20 feet. You know, so you drop 20 feet down and you're in a bunker, and that's for some most amateur golfers, it is almost impossible to get out of. But
that's not fair.
It is not fair. It is not fair. And, you know, and like I said, he makes difficult golf courses, and that's what he is designed to do, and that's what the design team asked him to do, is make a difficult golf course. You know, we want to really challenge everyone's game, and it almost is not fair. And, you know, but that's just his style of design.
But you guys are busy, I bet.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't matter if it's fair or not. There's guys out there with sticks in the trunk of their car, and they want to beat this course.
They want to play, and they keep coming back because they say, you know, I should have broke 80 that time. You know, I got to come back next week and try again. Or I should have broke 90. And, you know, we got a lot of single-digit handicappers that come out and play, and they're shooting mid-80s, low-80s, because it's a very, very difficult golf course. And it challenges every part of your game.
That's awesome. Well, let's take a short break here. We'll come back, and I have some more questions about being in La La Land.
As we make the turn, we want you to know that we're taking requests. If you'd like us to feature a specific course on Golf Smarter, our email address is golfsmarter@ttour.com. That's golfsmarter, one word, @TEETOUR.com. Whether you're planning a golf vacation, playing in an upcoming tournament, or have a favorite course for which you have a question, please let us know and we'll do a show just for you. Again, here's your host for Golf Smarter, Fred Green.
We're back with Adrian Cardoza, who's the head professional at the Los Canyons Golf Course in Simi Valley, which is just outside of Los Angeles. And I guess when you're in Los Angeles, you're getting phone calls from production companies a lot saying, hey, we need a golf course for our TV commercial or our movie or our TV show or something. Have we seen you guys on television?
You actually have. We do a lot of productions, a lot of commercials. A lot of commercials are actually overseas. A lot of commercials actually don't even make the TVs. But we actually have done a movie called The Longest Yard, who is a remake of, you know, Burt Reynolds back in the 70s. And I think it's the opening scene when he's on the golf course. I think it's the marshal, or when he's on the golf course, and that's actually our golf course. And I think it actually shows a picture of when he's driving in the cart, picture of our logo and Los Canyons on there. So that's definitely one we could actually for our claim to fame. But a lot of small little commercials that really haven't made it big, but I think that's probably the biggest one we've definitely been in.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
Okay. So if we're coming out to your golf course, mm-hmm. and we've never played it before, we're only going to get to play it once because we are coming as part of a tournament or something.
Right.
Which club should I be working with the most in my practice sessions before I come out and play Los Canyons to know how to play your course better? What's the secret club that's going to be in my bag, and how often am I going to have to use it? And tell me in what situations I'll need to use it.
It's definitely the wedges, the short game, the sand wedge. You know, you miss the green, and it's definitely not an easy up and down with all the elevation that we have on the greens. It's definitely the sand wedge. It's definitely the one that's going to get you out of trouble. So your short game, your sand wedges, your gap wedges, your pitching wedges, just a lot of different variety of shots you can use around the greens. Is definitely one that you want to definitely try to master. With all the deep bunkering that we have, and you know, the thick rough that kind of grows mostly in the summertime, it could get really, really nasty out there. So your short game is definitely the one that's going to save you strokes, and definitely your putting too. The greens that we have are A4 bent, very, very in great condition. They roll really true, and they can get pretty quick at times too. So if you're a decent putter, a halfway decent putter, definitely come out here and test your game, because there's a lot of tricky reads out there. But definitely your short game, your wedges, and your putter are the ones that are going to save you the most strokes.
Great. Now, are your bunkers mostly just surrounding the greens, or do you have a lot of fairway bunkers as well?
We do have a lot of fairway bunkers, and a lot of them are mostly for aiming point references. Because, like I said, a lot of them are some of the shots you can't really see the entire fairway. So, you know, if you just pick a bunker out, you know, 300 yards down, just kind of aim for it. You know, it's definitely a good reference point. You know, if you're playing from the proper tees, you know, a lot of the bunkers can come into play, but they're relatively, you know, the fairway bunkers are relatively easy to get out of. They're not deep fairway bunkers. You know, they're very well manicured, and they're you know, very fluffy sand. So they're definitely good bunkers to hit out of.
I am so excited about what you just said, because because people who hear this program before, they know that I like to ask, what's the target? What's the target? And I get email going, you know, I'm never going to play that course. Why are you asking me what the target is? Mm-hmm. And here you're talking about using visual aids out on the course to create targets for yourself.
Right.
That really is important, isn't it?
It really is, yeah. And the thing about what Pete Dye does really well, and he gets a bad rap for it, is that he doesn't place bunkers that are not really impossible to get out of, but he doesn't place bunkers that are just unfair. If you hit a good drive and rolls through the fairway, he's not going to put a bunker right at the edge of the fairway where it rolls into, and you're going to get a bad lie. He's either going to put a bunker on the left or right. So if your bunker's on the left, then you have to play a little bit of a fade or draw. If he puts a bunker on the right, you have to play a little bit of a draw. So, you know, it's definitely, he's not going to bunker both sides of the fairways. He just uses it as a reference point that, okay, there's bunker on the left, stay away from the one on the left, and there's plenty of room on the right. So it's definitely very, very accessible.
So it really is important to look beyond just your shot, to look, you know, a couple shots ahead of you. But you have a lot of blind shots on your golf course, right?
Mostly on the shallow course. Like I said, the sky course is pretty much what you see is what you get. So, I mean, the sky course is pretty fair.
Okay. So the shadow course is the one that you have more of your tournaments, you bring people out to, and you really challenge them.
Yes and no. The shadow course is definitely the one you want to play to test your game. And both courses are definitely very, very difficult. But the sky course is our most renowned course. The sky course is ranked number 71 in the nation for top 100 courses to play. So it's definitely the one that everyone wants to play, and that's the one where we get a lot of the publicity on. A lot of our marketing and advertising goes predominantly on the sky course. So I think when Freddie was out here, he did Golf the West, and he did one on there, and then he also did Playing with the Pros on the Golf Channel. So and all those are taped on the sky course. So it's definitely the one that people want to come out and play.
I mean, we talked earlier about the number 6 hole. You were talking about the shadow course, though, right?
That I was, yes.
Okay, so why don't we pick a hole on the sky course, your favorite hole there, let's one or two of them, and walk us through that one. How do we play those?
Well, definitely, I'd probably say that the best hole we have on our golf course is our number 9 hole on the sky. It's definitely the hardest hole on the golf course, and it's our only water on the entire golf course. And from the back tees, it plays 490 yards, kind of into the wind, too, a little bit. So, and it just, you know, just like Freddie, he plays that little fade, and, you know, he kind of got faded around the water. He cut off a little bit, too. And then, you know, even after that, you still got a 3-iron into, you know, a green that's, you know, surrounded by bunkers on the left and, you know, hills that kind of drop off, you know, to the right, too. So it's a very, very, very great, great hole. And, you know, the holes before that, 8 and 7, you know, which I always call it, you know, Pete's Corner, just like Eamon Corner at Augusta. You know, you get through 7, 8, 9 at, you know, 1-2 over or even, you know, par for those 3 holes, you're looking pretty good in the back 9, because the back 9 is definitely accessible where you can, you know, make some putts and kind of, you know, spray it around and still be okay. But, you know, 7 is one of our signature holes out there. It's just a really, really nice, beautiful par 3. You can play 240 yards all the way from the back tees, and, you know, from the silver tees, play a nice 160 with a, you know, very large green. It's very accessible to get to, and, you know, some bunkers are, you know, behind the green that don't really come into play with a beautiful backdrop of the San Jacinto Mountain. So that's definitely one of my favorite holes in the course.
The size of your greens, pretty big?
They're definitely big. I mean, we have greens that could range from, you know, 30 yards deep all the way to, I think we have a green that's close to 60 yards deep.
Wow.
So they're definitely a lot of square footage on those greens, and, you know, you get some putts that you're in the front of the green, and you know, you got to take a good whack at it to get all the way in the back. You know, with the speed of the greens and the elevation, it can be pretty fun, pretty tricky as well.
You sadist. Are your practice greens pretty representative of what it's like out there?
They definitely are, yeah. So practice greens definitely sample the course, a little taste of what you're going to see on the course. Not a whole lot of elevation on our putting greens, because we do have two putting greens. One's a little bit smaller, one's a little bit bigger. But they're definitely, what you see on the putting greens, what you're going to see on the course.
A lot of undulation?
A lot of undulation, yes.
So why don't you give us one of your favorite putting drills?
Favorite putting drill?
Because you're going to need it for this course, right?
You're definitely going to need it, yeah. Definitely going to need it.
And I'm assuming it's not a 3-foot putt.
It's not definitely a 3-foot putt. It's definitely a lag putt. You're definitely going to be, you know, need to be a good lagger. Putting drill I like to use, it is a lag putt drill, and it's just basically just try to get that the tempo and the momentum down. If you get that down, you know, you're doing pretty good. Pace of the ball and your lag putts is very, very key, because I think what most people lack is, I think, you'd rather be, pin high with the cup, and a little bit offline, rather than, I hit it online, but I was 5 feet short. You don't see the rest of the putt 5 feet, but I'd rather be up, next to the cup. So I think a good drill is if you just, just do work a lot on your lagging and just work a lot on your tempo of your putts. And I think...
Wait a minute. You're in Los Angeles area, right?
Yeah. I can hear that in background.
I'm expecting to hear helicopters next. Is there a gang war going outside? No, I'm sorry. That was very mean. I didn't mean
it. No.
My kid lives in South Central, so.
Oh, yeah.
So I hear that a lot when I'm talking to him. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but give me a drill. I know that we should be good with our lagging, but give me your favorite drill.
It's just basically what I try to do is I try to work my way. I start with a 5-foot putt and work on back to a 10-foot putt, work on back to a 15, and then to a 30-foot putt. And what that does is I try to basically, I want to make sure that I'm hitting the ball dead center in the club face. And I think a lot of people come up short if they don't hit the ball, square in the club face of the putter. And, when you don't hit it square in the putter face, you're losing a lot of distance, you're losing a lot of accuracy. So I think as you gradually work your way back, start from the 5-foot, 10-foot, 15-foot, 5-foot, 10-foot putts, you have a good chance of making those. But the 15, 25, and 30-foot, you're not a very good chance you're going to make that, even for the pros as well. So I think if you work your way back and just concentrate on just hitting the ball square, you should be pretty good out there. And a lot of courses that, your distance and your lag putts, should be pretty well.
But the tendency on your practice would be to hit a 30-foot putt, then your 10-foot putt, then your 5-foot putt. You're saying to go the other direction.
I prefer the other direction because, if you work your way to the shorter putts, you're going to gain confidence. You want to make sure that you make a couple putts to gain some confidence on the putting green. Make sure you're hitting them square and then work your way back. I think that when you start with a longer putting stroke, you're not really controlling your tempo. You're not hitting it as square as you would with a 5-foot putt. So I think if you work your way away from the hole and make sure you're hitting your putt pretty square, your putter square, then you have some better distance control and better confidence when you work your way back. I think when you work your way from back to forward, you kind of get a little timid and you kind of get a little tentative, and your putting stroke is not as solid, because you're used to a big long swooping swing with a 30-foot putt, and then you try to cut it down, you kind of get a little timid and you don't really follow through with the putting stroke. I think if you work your way away from the hole, get your putting stroke, get that down, hit the ball crisp, and then work your way back.
Great.
Yeah.
Wow, that's going to help.
Yes.
You mentioned a couple times Freddie. Have you ever played with him?
I haven't had the opportunity to play with Freddie, no. He's actually, when he was up at the call, when the course first opened, he was up there, not often, but he was up there a couple times during the year to practice, do some photo shoots, some infomercials. But he is a great guy. He does show his face around there every so often. He actually came back and did the redesign on the shadow course. We did have some damage to the shadow course from the floods. We got 37 inches of rain last February, so we did get a lot of damage. So he did come back out there, spent a couple weeks out there, and he showed his face around. Did have a chance to sit down, have some lunch with him a couple times, and just a great guy. Just doesn't really want to talk about golf. We talk about a bunch of other things, and just really, really down to earth guy. Just very, very personable. People.
Yeah, but you haven't played golf with him.
I haven't played golf with him. No, I haven't.
I don't care that he's a nice guy. I want a golf story.
Come on. Okay, so you've.
All right, so they've done TV commercials. They've done movies. You've had Freddie Couples. Have you gotten a chance to play with anybody famous down there?
I actually have.
Tell me a story.
We do have a couple celebrity athletes, actors, and actresses that come up there. I've had a chance, Marcus Allen and Eric Dickerson, they're regulars up there. I played with Marcus Allen a couple times.
OJ didn't play there a lot, did he?
No, he hasn't showed his face up there yet, no. But the one person I have played with, I actually played with Will Smith.
Did you really?
I did, yeah. He came up one day, and, we offered him a round of golf, and, come on up anytime. We'll take care of his rounds. And he asked us if any of us wanted to play, and, I actually was getting off work, and he offered me to go out there and play, and
you know, at that time.
He didn't offer to pay for you because you gave it to him for free.
That's correct.
But, what a nice guy that is. You know, why is it the guys that make $10 million in a movie, they don't have to pay for a round of golf, but a schmo like me walks on doing an interview, but who cares? You're going to charge me $50, $100 to play golf. It doesn't make any sense.
Free advertisement, you know, we get.
Oh, like he's going to talk about it in his next movie.
Not his next movie, but you know, when he comes up here, and you know, at least we could say that, you know, we got celebrities come up here that, you know, talk about good things about our golf course and brings friends and, you know, people up here. It's just it's just a good place to use them to promote the club a little more.
So is he any good?
He is actually very, very methodical. He's actually a really decent golfer. He's taken a lot of practice, taken a lot of instructions.
Don't tell me he's a real nice guy.
He's actually a funny guy. He's actually
really, I bet he was very funny.
Yeah, he's a really, really funny guy. But he's very, very methodical with his swing and his approach and his tempo and his angles and everything. But he hits the ball really far, though. He's a pretty big guy.
Wow, that's very cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess if somebody were to walk on the course and they said their name was Freddie, you're going to give him a free round, right?
I wish I could, but, you know, we know what Freddie looks like.
Or if they said they heard about the course on the Golf Smarter podcast, you're going to give them a discount or something, right?
That's definitely something we can work out, yeah.
Last question for you, and then I'll let you go.
No problem.
As a golfer, please, give me the best advice you've ever received.
Oh, geez. As a golfer, the best advice I've ever received is probably keep your head down. No, I'm just kidding.
You're fired.
Everyone gets that one.
Yeah, right.
No, the best advice I got was, you know, golf is a game of determination. Golf is a perfectionist sport. And the best advice is that, you know, if you're going to stick with something, you know, make sure you follow it through all the way. You know, and golf is not a game where you can go out there once a month and expect results. You know, it's definitely a game that's something you'd have to practice and practice and practice. And practice, you see results. My best advice is you got to go out and play. And I think a lot of people don't play enough. They're what we call range rats. They're just great player people on the range. You know, they hit the ball as good as they can on the range, but they never go out and play. And I think when you see results, you're going to see results on the golf course. And you can practice and practice as much as you can and work on drills. But the only time you're going to see results is if you actually go out and play. So that's kind of what I tell my students is, you know what, you can practice everything you want, but you're not going to see anything until you take it out on the golf course. So I think the more you play, I think that's when you can actually start, you know, putting your practices, you know, to the test and really start working on different shots and, you know, really thinking your way around the golf course. And, you know, definitely the more you practice, I think that's when you're going to see results. So the more you practice, the more you're going to see results.
Easier said than done.
Yeah, I know. No, being a golf.
You work at a golf course. That's different.
Yeah, everyone thinks that's the thing. You work at a golf course. You play all the time, you know. But you know, being a head pro is a lot of responsibility. So I don't. Not one of the perks I get to play is playing privileges. But it's always nice to walk outside and, you know, from a couple feet from the clubhouse, you could definitely go out and hit the ball. So.
But perfection is not possible.
It's
I don't care
possible.
Where it is. It's not possible. And
it's
golf,
possible.
If you even think about perfection in golf, you're going to get yourself in trouble.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, so I think you just kind of have to put that aside and just, you know, just practice within yourself and just, you know your limitations and, you know, really think about what you're trying to work on. And I think if you just take the golf game and just, you know, break it down and just take step by step and break down every part, every facet of the game, and just try to really commit yourself to, you know, one part of the game I do really well, and, you know, work on that stuff. So I know that I'm a great putter. I know when I get around the green, I have a very good chance of making this putt and getting up and down. So I think if you just concentrate on one part of the game, that should definitely lead to other parts of the game. At least take that part of your game, that stress out of your game.
It just cracks me up how golfers are never happy with their game. I don't care how close you can get to perfection. They're never happy. On the first day of the U.S. Open this year, after shooting an even par, Jim Furyk was asked how he's doing, and he said, I'm mediocre.
Yeah, yeah. They're never, I mean, the pros.
But so have you ever met anybody from a scratch golfer who's on the tournament in the U.S. Open shooting par on the first day versus a guy who's shooting 110 on a regular basis saying, I'm happy with the way I play.
Yeah.
No one does that.
No, no one does that. You know, and it's just, you know, also another good thing I said, good advice I got, you know, is just you leave the golf course every day and just say, that's the best I played today. I didn't leave any strokes out there. that's the best golf I possibly could play today. You know, if you missed a putt here, you missed a putt there, so be it. But that's the best I possibly could play today. And that's kind of the attitude I give to. You know, you finish out every hole, every stroke you take, you know, you take serious. You know, you don't just lollygag it around the golf course. I left everything on the golf course, and that's the best I possibly could play today. And I think if you do that and have that bright mindset, you know, especially with our golf course, you know, you just got to take what the golf course gives. You know, if you're going to make bogey, you're going to make bogey. Accept it and move the next hole. You know, at our golf course, bogey's not a bad score. Believe it or not, bogey's not a bad score there. So,
I knew I'd get a gem out of you. That is the way to end the show. Adrian, thanks so much for your time. That was the great. I think that's the advice everybody should walk away with. That's the best I can do today.
Yeah.
And so was this interview. Adrian, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much for having me on. Appreciate it.
Well, it really doesn't get more succinct than that, does it? Hope you enjoyed the show today. Hope you learned a couple tips, a couple drills that may help your game. But definitely hope you learned a new mindset that's going to improve your round and your enjoyment so you can golf smarter. Thanks for listening. I'm Fred Green.